KXNO. Live from the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios. You'd rather be here. This is 1460 KXNO. Now, today's biggest stories from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. Game one of the Stanley Cup Finals in the books. The Blues jumped out to a 2-0 lead, but the homestanding Bruins came roaring back.
Chari, and then Corrali wants to play the point. Chara flips one, then shrugged down off of Bennington. Strathcore there, stays in front. Corrali scores!
The call from NBC as the Bruins hold on for a 4-2 win and take a 1-0 series lead. To Major League Baseball, the Cubs in Houston. Garrett Cole outstanding for the Astros.
1-2 count here, though. And he goes down. Cole strikes out Rizzo. Give him 11 strikeouts. 2 away in the sixth. Strikes out the side. Garrett Cole punching tickets today. He's got a dozen.
The call from the Astros TV network. A 6-5 victory for Houston over the Cubs. Game 2 coming up tonight. In Minnesota, the Twins bring a 6-game winning streak on the line, but a comeback from the Brewers.
Here's a 1-0. And Arcia drive into left field. This one is way back and gone. And the Brew Crew has taken the lead at Target Field.
Arcia's 6th home run of the year. The call from Brian Anderson of Fox Sports Wisconsin. The Brewers now a half game behind the Cubs in the National League Central. Coming up tonight, Cardinals back in action. You can hear the game right here on 1460 KXNO. 6:05 with the first pitch. Adam Wainwright on the bump for the Cardinals.
Sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Did you see the picture? And I didn't know this. Steph Curry spent some time in Canada. His dad played there for the Raptors franchise.
Yeah, makes sense.
And there was a time, and Curry, I want to say probably junior high, Steph Curry age, and he was on a team in Toronto in junior high.
Yeah, pretty good.
You think? Oh, it cracks me up. Just watching it. Because they posted the team picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of Steph. I just have...
He wasn't real physically imposing,
No, but filled it up every time, every chance he got, I'm assuming. And we bring that up because...
Pretty much all those guys probably did in junior high, though.
Yeah, but in Canada, even more so, I would think. I mean, look, at Canadian basketball... I can't believe we're going down this path. I'm sorry I even started us down this path. Let's get the show back on track we can. So it's silly season. Let me throw this one out. We kind of touched on this a little bit at the end of the first hour. So if indeed they take the wrecking ball to Carver Hawkeye...
Yes.
And they're
yes.
going to rebuild in the same site...
Same spot.
Same spot. Would you be okay with that?
No.
You want to move it?
Yeah. It's just, it's
again,
a
they're not
spot.
Building any, they're not making any more land.
They're not, no. But you can tear stuff down and build back up.
Would that be easier? Would you tear Carver Hawkeye down then if you built a new arena? Would you,
is could there you something, repurpose
that's
it?
That's my question. Could you repurpose
so
it?
Big.
It's massive.
And a big hole in the ground. That's, you know, could you make it into a 4,000 seat concert / volleyball / wrestling venue? Now that's another component. You got the wrestling, which I mean, the environment's good for that. But Doc's right. Could you repurpose it? Could you take out a middle section, make a concourse there, and make it a 12,000 seat venue?
Wouldn't it just be cheaper to build a whole?
Well, and that's I think what you get into because of the way that it's built and being built into the ground, taking out a middle level and then finding a way to make two different concourses and two levels. Seemingly, it's impossible, right?
Yeah, it is. I would think. So, what do you do? So, if you do knock it down, where's the wrestling going to happen? Where are the Hawks, women and men, going to play their homes? Because it's not like they could, you know, the end of the basketball season comes. It's March, and they're working on it's going to be ready for November. That's right. Not going to happen.
No, not at all. I mean, a new building takes a couple of years.
We saw the Bears leave Soldier Field.
Played in Illinois. Played down in Illinois. Champaign.
We saw the Gophers leave the Metrodome before TCF was built.
Bears played in Champaign. Didn't work real well.
Didn't work.
No.
No, the Vikings played at TCF.
Which was fine.
Yep. Outdoors, though, in December. Well, they used to play there. Tough
enough.
They did,
yeah.
Where could they play?
I think the easiest. Now, remember years ago, I think, yeah, you were here at the time, when Iowa played in the NIT Dr. Tom era, mm-hmm. and they made a little bit of a roll, I think, run to the quarterfinals.
And they had a really good crowd?
Yeah.
At the NIT?
No, well, no, because Carver was being used, I want to say, for either NCAA wrestling or women's basketball.
Okay, I don't remember.
So
help me
out. They couldn't play the NIT. It was 95.
I was here, but yeah.
They had to go over, and they played in the Mark in the Quad Cities.
Good. Is that the home venue. Of the Mallards?
Maybe.
The you Mark, right? M-A-R-K?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the home of the... I think that's where the Quad City Mallards play.
CBA team played there. I think they were the Quad City Silver Bullets.
And how many people does it seat?
That was about 10 to 12. I've been there for a concert before years ago, mm-hmm. back my freshman year of college. So, yeah,
and how far ago. From campus to that building?
Hour 15.
So why don't come west?
Come west to Wells
right
Fargo?
Here. Okay. I'm not saying every game.
But some of them?
Why not? I mean, where's the biggest fan base? Population-wise, second biggest, mate. No, I still think it's here.
Well, the Iowa City-Cedar Rapids corridor is
huge, massive. I get that. And 90%. It's 90% right here. It's 50.
Well, and it's probably 50. Not even 50, 45,
maybe.
And 10% mm-hmm. other in terms of college support.
Yeah. Could you build a brand by coming here?
I think it would help. Not every game.
Not every game.
You don't want to ship them 2 hours every game.
No.
But...
I mean, the students have shown they really don't care anyway.
Right. It's not like there's great student sections when we had the Big Four Classic.
Right.
That you had people bouncing up and down there. So a couple games here, a couple games in Cedar Rapids, a couple games in Quad Cities. I think that would make the most sense.
And this all started, we asked Scott Dockerman about, because he was asked a question in his mailbag at the Athletic. Now that Kinnick seemingly, they've spent all the money that they're coming to the end of the renovations over there. What's next was the question. That's got to be the answer is Carver Hawkeye.
But is it? Because we just talked about it. I mean, the logistics of a lot of the changes just aren't realistic. Unless you're talking about capital improvements of $70 to $100 million,
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about here, either renovation of Carver.
Just knock it down and build another. I mean, Pollard's about to spend a whole bunch of money on Hilton starting.
Right.
I think, what did I read? I read the piece last week. Dylan will fill us in
but
more.
That's a great building.
It is a great building, but it's getting old.
It is, yeah, and you got to keep updating it. But the bones are there.
Right, and the concourse is in the right place.
Yes.
In the middle of the upper deck and
yes.
the lower.
The structure is there. Mm-hmm. That's not the case with Carver Hawkeye.
It's not.
Knock it down. I mean, if there's ever a time to do it, the time is now, though. I mean, you have to do it with the money that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. the TV money that continues to filter in. You don't know 10 years down the line if that's going to be possible. If the logistics and the money works... Do it now.
Trent, it's good. There's going to come a time that it's going to have to get done. I mean, that's not going to
be there forever.
No, it's not. And why wait? I'm with you. Just logistically, how do you make this work? Where do you do it? You have to bring some of the games here. You really do. Look at what Iowa State has done. Is they've, I mean, they haven't reclaimed the state by any means. That's never going to happen. But they've certainly
reclaim Central Iowa.
They certainly have since in the 23 years that I've been doing this. It's not even. I mean, it was hard. It was all Hawks.
Yeah,
it was all
That's
Hawks.
What mattered at that time? It was Iowa basketball and football and
yep.
Iowa State. Even though they had good teams,
and good basketball
mm-hmm. teams. But even those Johnny Orr teams, none of them were fighting for first place in the Big 12 in February. It was fighting to be an NCAA tournament team. They had some nice teams, mm-hmm. but it never...
Some good players.
Yeah, never the level, though, that we've seen, certainly that Eustachy got them to,
mm-hmm.
that we've seen Hoiberg get them to, and Prohm with the Sweet 16 team. They weren't quite there. They're good, but remember the road woes of Johnny Orr's teams? They were substantial.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbeatable at Hilton, and can they steal a game or two on the road and beat mm-hmm. a tournament team? That's been different.
Well, this again, this all goes back to Scott Dockerman, the question we asked him, and what's going to be next? Where are they going to allocate their dollars?
Baseball stadium, that will be, basically the whole grandstand is going to be torn down.
Okay.
And they're going to put suites in.
Does that move the needle? Are they, can it, is there room for growth there?
Yes.
Significant? To offset the cost of building that new facility?
I mean, it's... But that's everything. I mean, they put in a new boathouse. Does rowing suddenly move the needle before that?
Look,
you can't just put
rowing.
All the money into football and basketball.
Well, that's where you make all the money.
It is. But that's the reality of college athletics.
Carver's going to need a fresh coat of paint sooner rather than later, in my opinion. I don't know why you wait. I agree with you. I'm with you.
Tear it down's the simplest solution. Now it's the most expensive solution, mm-hmm. too. But that's the way to
then
do
what?
It.
All right, we'll take a timeout. I'm looking forward to this next piece. Jerry Crawford is he's a friend of mine, full disclosure. And he's going to reminisce about Nick Nurse. You know, Nick Nurse spent a significant portion of his career. Well, he's been a lot of places, but one of those stops was in downtown Des Moines with the Iowa Energy. How did that come about? It's a fascinating story. Jerry Crawford is going to tell it with Trent and I when we come back. Then Dylan Montz on Iowa State at about 11:35. I kind of miss the golf sounder, Trent, when we go to break.
Yeah, we don't have it.
It's over. The contest is over.
I'm sure we'll have another contest
soon. I hope so. We had a few winners in the building, but
yeah.
I think everybody hoped that we would find one more before it ended last Friday, and I don't think we were able to push through.
No, haven't heard anything. It was a long weekend, though. Holiday weekend, maybe.
By the way, did you correct Claxons yet?
I haven't got to
it. I took a good look at it.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how long it would have... I mean, what is it going to take to knock down the BBQ for this week? So the questions that we asked were... do you remember them?
Yeah, Blues-Bruins, game one.
Game one, that went to the Bruins. Even was the race car. I know that.
It was even, okay.
Did you watch any of the race?
Just a little bit.
I did.
Not nearly as much as I wanted to.
Well, I didn't watch. I watched as much as I wanted to, which wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
But I watched when it counted. Phillies beat them, took 2 out of 3 from the Brewers.
Okay. Toronto-Milwaukee
Toronto covered.
Yeah.
Toronto was 2.5. And then I know the Barnstormers won. I don't remember the how many points they scored.
Well, I will work on that. I'll have it to you by the end of the show.
Okay, good deal. We'll have to talk to Jerry Crawford next. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 1460.
Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. As promised, time to spend some time with a good friend, Jerry Crawford, who, of course, was behind the Iowa Energy back in its inception, and now still, of course, a prominent figure here in the central Iowa area. And he joins us as we reminisce a little bit about a guy from Carroll, Iowa, who just happens to be coaching the team representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA final. That's hard to get my arms around that, Jerry. Good to talk to you, as always. And, you know, a guy from Carroll, Iowa... is coaching in an NBA final. That's amazing.
It is. It's extraordinary on one hand, but not surprising on the other, given Nick's talents and drive and focus on doing exactly what he's doing. I know the whole state of Iowa is happy for him. Carroll, forget about Carroll. I mean, they're over the moon, and I'm sure there are any number of them standing outside the Raptors Arena up in Toronto during some of these games.
Indeed. It's a fascinating story. So I want to go back to, you know, how we got here. We know him. We remember him at UNI, but a vagabond. I mean, if you've got a team, he was willing to go anywhere and coach it, and he literally did that, moving all over the world to follow his passion. So he gets to Des Moines, and the story goes, Jerry, that he's driving down 235, and he knows about this new league, the D League that is being formed, and he drives by Wells Fargo Arena, and he sees the new building down there, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off that, you know, why wouldn't a team work in Des Moines, Iowa? So he pulls off the exit, he drives in, I don't know who he spoke to, but eventually whoever he spoke to would get you on the phone. Take us back to that time.
Well, there were actually two trains running down different tracks. One was Nick wanted to come home. He wanted to coach in the United States, and he had his eye longer term on the NBA. This would have been in late 2005, early 2006. At the same time, Linda and I were spending part of our winters down in Scottsdale, and I'd gone to a dinner with the then governor, Janet Napolitano, and one of her dinner guests was David Stern, then the commissioner, and he was talking about the D-League and how committed he was to it and how he was going to make sure that it would work. I knew almost, I'm not sure I'd heard of it when he said those things. I come back to Des Moines. I get a call from Nick, who's just off the phone. I believe it was with Orv Salmon, who Nick knew well and who's also a former basketball coach at Drake and at DMAC and other places. And Orv said, get Jerry on the phone. And so they came down. We had a conversation. And then I don't think enough people know this next piece of the story, but I said to Nick, this is going to, you know, cost some dough to get to buy a franchise and to get it up and running. We're going to need to have some investors. And Nick said, I wouldn't know who to talk to. And I said, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get in the car and we're going to go see Gary Kirk. And we went to see Gary. And when we finished our pitch, Gary said, sounds to me like this is good for the city of Des Moines. I don't know if we'll ever make a nickel, but let's do it. And by God, we did make a nickel.
Yeah.
So it was a double good thing, but we then had some additional investors. I'm not going to go through the list because I'll forget somebody and then I'll be in trouble. But we kicked off the energy in 2007, 2011. And by the way, Nate Bjorkgren was an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
He's now sitting at Nick's side on the Toronto Raptors bench as an assistant. 2011, we won the league championship. Nick had kind of done what he could do here. There was the famous hour he spent working for Iowa State, and then he went down to coach the
Rio Grande Valley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and won a championship there as well. And by then, he had people's attention. Folks don't realize it's harder to win in the then D League, now G League. It's harder to be a head coach there than it is in the NBA. And it's really tough training. And so when he had won two championships, he got the call to go be an assistant in Toronto. And 5 years later, here we are.
So just real quick, I know Trent wants to jump in. Did you know Nick? Did you know him well when he and Orv reached out to you at that point? Or did you know of him?
I did know him. When he was 23 years old, he became, that's pretty remarkable too, 23, became the head coach of Grandview College's basketball team. And I met him somehow at that time, thought he had all the promise in the world. We stayed in touch while he was in Europe, and I think he was overseas 10 or 11 years, so I knew him when he came back and when he made the call that day.
Jerry, good to talk to you again. You know, I got to know Nick a little bit during that time period and did a few of those energy games on radio, and everybody has dreams. Everybody has dreams to become the best in his profession. I remember him saying his dream was to be an NBA head coach. And I'm going to be honest, that's a great dream. But as a guy that was in England for 10 years coaching basketball, it didn't seem, at least to me, a layman in basketball terms, something that was possible. Did you believe this was possible, that this guy could get that shot at the NBA level? And what was it about him, if it was true?
Yeah, I absolutely believed that it could happen. I got a little nervous this year for the first time this past year because there were six vacancies in the NBA, and five of them got filled before Nick got hired by the Raptors, and I was getting a little shaky at that point, but of course it came through. Listen, here's something not everybody knows about Nick Nurse. He is crazy smart. And he's even keeled. In fact, I think there's a great story about, you know, the demeanor of Nick Nurse side by side with the demeanor of Kawhi Leonard. Those are two cool customers right there. And they kind of feed off each other. And it really, I think, helps the team. But crazy smart, incredible focus. When he came to see me the first time, he had a notebook. And he showed me his notebook, which had several hundred out-of-bounds plays in it. And if you go back and look at the statistics in the D-League, and if you look at the statistics this year in the NBA, he's off the charts in terms of scoring off dead balls. You know, those things aren't accidental. Those things are the purest measure of coaching. You know, in the NCAA, you look always for teams that are going to have that little bit of an edge in what are otherwise evenly matched games because of the coach's capacity to score off a dead ball. So I can't say that I was surprised. I knew he had all the tickets, and he was determined to do it.
Jerry Crawford is our guest, a former Energy, Iowa Energy owner, part of the ownership group. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. So the Energy are born, and there's four of them, according to the articles that I read. Four full-time employees, of course, Chris Macros, former Drake quarterback, now an executive with the Memphis Grizzlies, and he was your general manager for a long time when he was here. If you're in a minor league affiliate, if you will, you're going to have to wear a lot of hats. So not only was Nick Nurse the coach, but apparently he was doing a lot of other things, going around the community, trying to get people excited about professional basketball in Des Moines. And he was willing to do those things to make this thing succeed, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He was on the spot no matter what, whether it was selling season tickets or speaking at a breakfast club. He was an absolute ambassador for the concept. And, you know, I mentioned Carroll earlier. We had an incredible amount of our fan base came from Carroll, would come over for our games, and including Nick's parents, and I know that meant a lot to Nick to have that kind of hometown support, to say nothing of his family.
Jerry Crawford joining us. Jerry, you know, you go through and you look at Nick Nurse, one of the most famous, and becoming a national celebrity is what's happening with Drake on the sidelines. Did you ever rub Nick's shoulders in the middle of a game?
No, but I didn't have the bling for it.
I thought that was
pretty cool. I'm waiting to see Drake with the black double in hat.
Yeah,
that'll be the completion of the full circle, right?
Yeah, no.
By the way, why haven't we gotten any of those hats yet? That's
what
I want to know.
We talked about that on the air last week, and I believe that is moving forward as we speak. So I think they look great. They really. And Jared, this just goes to where I saw it for the first time. Is I've been. I'm into this Nick Nurse story, and I'm watching press conferences on the NBA network on DirecTV. I think it's like 217 or 218, whatever it is. Nick is so polished in front of the media. I remember him doing stuff when I was here the first time, when I was sitting doing afternoon drive, and we would have Nick on, and he was really good then. But boy, he's got a command of that press conference, Jerry.
He does, and he does it the same way he coaches. He's very calm.
Yeah.
Very matter of fact, very authentic. You know, it's kind of what we look for in politics, and he certainly presents it. It's so focused. His everything he does and everything he says is so focused on shining a positive light on his players as opposed to himself. He even got irritated that the press wanted to cover the story. I don't know if you guys have talked about it. His new son, who was born 6 days ago.
Right. Rocky.
Do you know the backstory on the name?
No. I do not.
So Nick says, well, Crofts, we had Roberta and I had a long weekend to ourselves last summer. We went to the Western Rockies in Canada. Stuff happens, and now I got to decide, do I name the kid Rocky or do I name the kid Banff?
That's something. Banff's a beautiful area. It really, truly is.
It's pretty spectacular, yeah. You know, one thing we haven't touched on is Nick as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm sure he still holds the record. He had, I'm going to say it was 23 players called up to the NBA.
Mm.
While he was the Energy coach, if you stop and think about that, that's pretty extraordinary, and it tells you that he's able to help them find their own next level. And players want to play for a coach who can help them do that. Now, of course, in his current assignment, they're at the ultimate level, but they all seem to be getting better at the right time this year. Their defensive intensity has just been extraordinary, and it will need to be when they try and deal with Steph Curry.
Final thing for you, speaking of Steph Curry, the final hurdle for Nick Nurse and bringing a NBA championship here to Iowa, and I'm sure we'd get to see the trophy, but that aside, this Golden State team, historically good, even without Kevin Durant, we know how good they are. There are playing at a completely different level. What do you think this Toronto team, what can they do? Is it possible for them to upend the Warriors?
I think it's absolutely possible. You know, they played the Warriors twice this year. They won both games. One of those games, I'd want to fact check myself, but I'm going to say Durant had just over 50 points. One of the games Toronto won. And now, you know, Durant is iffy. I think that Toronto presents a little more of a team and a little less of an individual focus. Steph's averaged over 35 in the playoffs. Kawhi just over 25. But I would argue that the Raptors have had the better supporting cast. I was really surprised when I saw the initial odds come out on series winner. And it's kind of strange because, the initial line that came out was Golden State by one over the Raptors in game one. And now I think it's Toronto by one or one and a half. So clearly the public sees it so far a little differently.
Hey, since you brought up the gambling aspect, Jerry, how about legalized sports? legalized sports wagering coming to our fine state of Iowa. How about that?
Yeah, it's not something I thought we'd see quite this soon. But I think it's a good thing. It's very, very recreational for a lot of people. If done right, the state might make a few dollars off it. So I think it's good.
Yeah, I do too. Last thing for you. You were at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May when they disqualified the winner. What was it like?
As a person who's been fortunate enough to have horses win some of the biggest grade ones in the nation, I've never been asked as often about a race, race in my life. I just thought it was the worst possible decision. You put 20 horses on a racetrack in slippery, sloppy conditions where there's a lot of skidding and moving around, and you watch that race in slow motion. You cannot defend that decision, in my opinion, and I know I've got good friends who disagree with me.
And I'm one of them. Would you have liked to win the Derby by a DQ? I mean, you've tried to win this thing. You're still trying. One day, hopefully, it'll either be you or all Bobbitt and I when we'll win it. Would you like to be, to kind of back your way into a Derby crown? I'm assuming you clearly tainted, right? That's not how you want to win it.
Clearly tainted. My biggest concern isn't backing into a Derby, it's what happened this year, winning one and being taken down. Before my fatal heart attack, I'm not sure what I would do, but I know it wouldn't be pretty. It's just awful. Gary West is not horse racing's single most popular owner, but I don't think he deserved this. I mean, of all the Kentucky Derbies, this is the worst. This is the worst infraction we've ever had, because that's the case you have to make.
Mm-hmm. Fair point, because it's the only one that's been taken down. Jerry, we're out of time. Listen, I've really great to catch up with you. Some fine insight onto Nick Nurse, who is an Iowan coaching and a former Cyclone assistant coach. We should throw that in there, as you briefly did, indeed. Great to catch up with you, Jerry. Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Thanks, Jerry. Okay, good to be with you. Jerry Crawford joining us as we go down memory lane with this fascinating story. Down 235, sees the building, gets on the phone, and a couple of phone calls later, and as Jerry said, there were two different trains going down two different tracks, but it seemed like it was going to happen, and maybe that sped up the process. We will take a time out. Trent and I have another segment to go. Dylan Montz, we talked Hawks in the first hour of the program. Let's do Iowa State, shall we? Dylan Montz is next. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Let's get right to Dylan Montz. Went a little long there with Jerry Crawford, but good piece with Jerry. Of course, Dylan, you can read him at AmesTrib.com, AmesTrib.com. He covers Iowa State for the Ames Tribune. He's with us. Dylan, Trent, and Ken, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Doing pretty well. You know, big week recruiting-wise, I'm going to pay more attention to football right now. We know Petway's going to be there. The transfer from Arkansas, grad transfer, he's got 1 year. He was their leading receiver, as we know. We've chronicled that. But a kid by the name of Darren Wilson, a JUCO, who certainly built to play this position, 6'3", 200-pound wide receiver. But he'll have more than just a year. He's a JUCO transfer that he's going to play in the Big 12. It sounds like it's West Virginia or Iowa State, and everybody's going to find out by the middle of this week. What are you hearing on Darren Wilson? It'd be a great pickup at this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. He plays at Butler Community College, and like you mentioned, his eligibility and what he has left, free to play free, is just, you know, it kind of offsets maybe what you lose in a guy like Josh Johnson and starts to replenish your depth a little bit. But having a guy that has had a little bit of experience at the collegiate level, albeit at JUCO, it just kind of, again, continues to shore up a little bit of what you did with Michael Petway, where he comes in being the leading receiver on an Arkansas team last year. That wasn't very good, but he was the guy that was looked at the most. So having him, potentially Wilson, is big, because then you can go with Deshante Jones, Tariq Milton, and then have those younger guys in the wings like a Joe Skates or a Sean Shaw that you feel good about but want to maybe ease in a little bit more.
Yeah, and they're going to use the tight ends, at least we assume that with the talent that they have there, that the tight end is going to become way more prominent. So I guess I don't understand, and I don't know where the kid's from. West Virginia, they lose Holgorsen, they lose their quarterback to the NFL. Iowa State keeps their head coach. They keep their quarterback. I think that the prospects of a better season, clearly Ames is going to be better in football than you would think that's going to happen in Morgantown this year. I mean, I don't know why Darren Wilson, unless there's a relationship there that I don't know about, and there may well be, wouldn't come to Iowa State, Dylan.
Yeah, I don't know enough of his recruiting path and kind of who he's been in contact with to know if he has some sort of connection in West Virginia, but their sales pitch is probably, playing time, and that would be Iowa State's as well. But you look and you have Deshante Jones and Tariq Milton, and then adding one Michael Petway, maybe, people can say, oh, they're starting to load up. There maybe aren't as many opportunities. But, it'll be interesting. And Iowa State's gone head-to-head with West Virginia over the last few years with a couple of different kids. So, gone are the days of Iowa State kind of fighting off MAC schools for some of these kids. Yeah. They're going head-to-head with some conference foes and other Power Fives.
Good point.
Dylan, a couple weeks ago, we saw the announcement three former walk-ons were going to be on scholarship for this year. Braxton Lewis and Ken's been beating that drum for a long time, and he got a scholarship. Colin Olson and Amici Walker. You know, the walk-ons, though, we see this happen from time to time, but I think it goes to show you the investment that this program continues to make on that walk-on program. And everybody has walk-ons, but it's just more important to other people. Have you had a chance ever to talk to Matt Campbell about that, about his walk-on program and its importance inside the program?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a thing that he's talked about really since the first few days that he was on campus, is how important it is to get guys in that can kind of contribute, whether that's on offense or defense, is another story. But those guys are so valuable on special teams and can provide a little bit of a lift. And you've seen it over the last couple of years, especially some guys have turned down even FCS offers to come and walk on. And, whether they see scholarships in their future is probably a ways away, and not something that they're totally focused on when they come here. They just want an opportunity to go play at a higher level. And, with the preferred walk-ons, Iowa State recruits them just like they would any other scholarship player, and can kind of sell maybe what how they fit in there. And like I said, special teams is kind of an introductory place to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what Braxton Lewis did. That's what Amici Walker's done. Colin Olson has really kind of stepped in and on a key spot in the offensive line and really done well. So it is something they take really seriously and focus on a lot. And providing, again, that depth is so huge when you're talking about a sport like football.
Let me build on that a little bit, Dylan. Dylan Mons from the Ames Tribune with Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Give me a guy on both sides of the ball, pursuant to that last answer and question that we just heard, that maybe is poised to take that next big step, that, you know, maybe didn't play a ton as a freshman, saw some special teams as a sophomore, or it's just taken him a little bit longer. Give me a guy on both sides of the ball. Not necessarily a breakout, and, you know, we won't hold you to this. It's not even June, for crying out loud. But, you know, in the back of your mind, an offensive player or a defensive player that are about to, you know, maybe play a much more prominent role with the Cyclones team in 2019.
Yeah, I went through a lot of names there in my head, just some guys that have played a lot, some a little. But one name that I thought for the offense is Jalen Martin, a wide receiver. He's 6'3", and built, I don't know what he is, maybe 210 pounds, 215, but he's been a guy that's been talked about a lot the last few springs, and his name's been mentioned at the beginning of the fall, you know, each of the last couple of years as well, but just hasn't been able to crack that lineup, and, you know, it might be an uphill road again if Iverson gets Wilson, and then Petway's in there, and then you talk about the other guys that I've mentioned, but I think, you know, he's certainly as close to getting out there as he's ever been, and a guy I know they feel pretty good about, too, at least in the past and what he's been able to give early on. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of takes a step.
Okay.
And then if you talk about the defense, I think, you know, he's a guy that's played a lot, but not necessarily as prominent as a Mike Rose or Marcel Spears, but Orion Vance in the linebacking core. I think, you know, what he's able to do in the middle, and if they switch up defenses this year a little bit and provide some different wrinkles, you know, he can be kind of a really big athlete in the middle that they can go through and take plays. So those are a couple of guys. And I'm sure as we kind of get later in the summer and closer to the fall, there will be several more that kind of pop up, but those are two that I thought of right away.
Getting closer and closer to that important recruiting time. Players going to be coming in, a lot of high school, soon to be seniors, and getting a look at Iowa State football camps. One of the commitments, though, for the 2020 class, a kid from up in Minnesota that plays at Minnehaha Academy, Craig McDonald, ruled ineligible for high school football this year.
I saw that story, yeah.
Dylan, have you been able to see anything about this, take a look at it at all? Something to do with just how much football he has played at this time, if I read it correctly. Have you heard anything about McDonald?
Yeah, not a ton. I saw the statement he put out on Twitter, and it did sound like it has to do with moving to a different school and reclassifying, you know, a different year and playing an extra year. So I think he's kind of in the middle of a process of trying to figure this out. And everybody knows kind of once you get into the eligibility deal, it can kind of drag on. You know, Kansas basketball players have had it recently, and you can point to a number of guys. But, yeah, unfortunate for Craig McDonald if he can't go this year. But, yeah, it's, you know, the nuances, the intricacies and the nuances of trying to navigate eligibility is so crazy. So, I haven't heard much, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, no doubt.
Yeah, that was on his Twitter feed, right? Maybe that's where I saw it as well. Was there a story written?
Star Tribune has an article
about
it.
Do they?
Yeah, okay. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to read through that yet, but I did see it on his Twitter account first. So, a tough break for the kid if he can't go.
So I wonder what he would do. I mean, would his school allow him to even practice?
I think so. I think there's talk, though, maybe prep school going out to Northeast has a ton of prep schools, as you know. You know, something like that where he would be eligible to play football this year. But, boy, Minnesota kid, that's got to be a tough decision you'd have to make.
Yeah, indeed. Dylan, last thing basketball-wise, Lindell Wigginton made it official. He's staying in. We knew Horton Tucker was always, he's going to be a first-round pick by most mocks that I read. There's no way he's coming back. Cam Lard has said as much that he's seen the last of Ames. But Lindell Wigginton, whether he's drafted or not, is going to stay in the draft. It doesn't seem likely he's going to hear his name called. But really no surprise, right? It just seemed like Prohm was recruiting to that spot ever since Wigginton made it be known that he's going to enter the draft, at least the process.
Yeah, he had planted seeds kind of even throughout his collegiate career that he wanted to get to the NBA or I should say pro basketball as soon as possible. And you know, it did seem like this last jump when he wanted to go test the waters was going to be the time that he actually went. So not a surprise. And Steve Prohm and the staff have probably known that too, because the timeline is so tricky where you got to recruit those spots, even though they could come back. But I think in the meetings they had, he made it pretty clear that he wanted to pursue this, whether it was going to be as an NBA draftee or having to kind of climb uphill a little bit through the G League or potentially playing overseas. So it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. But they're kind of moving on to another new era in basketball for sure.
And as we talked about with that JUCO Wilson for football-wise, I guess Prohm's got a kid that's on the cusp of making an announcement to a transfer from Penn State who's going to seek immediate eligibility. Now, that's got to go through the NCAA, but Bolton is his last name, and he's a guard, and Iowa State could clearly use him, and it's down to Colorado State, Cincinnati, and Iowa State for his services, and that will come to a head this week.
Yeah, he's from Penn State, so he has high major experience. And there's certainly a need at Iowa State right now. They're kind of trying to find the next new crop of guys, and Cincinnati obviously had their coaching change, and Colorado State is in the post-Larry Eustace years with Nico Medved. So, it'll be interesting to see where he winds up, but like I said, there's certainly opportunity at Iowa State for him.
Good stuff, Dylan Montz. We will talk to you next week. Thank you, Dylan.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, good to talk to Dylan Montz, Ames Tribune, amestrib.com. For Dylan, for Travis Hines, the entire paper over there, amestrib.com. So a couple of decisions, a football decision and a basketball decision to come by the middle of this week.
That's good. Content. Yes. Get us to June.
You're right. Get us through June.
Get us through June, yes. That's the important one. Yeah. You got any time off in June?
I got to go to Chicago.
Yes.
I think I have a Vegas trip. Yeah, I have to go off to the office for a couple of days.
All right.
At some point. How about you?
I'm trying to figure out. They call it a baby moon, like a honeymoon, but before the baby is born.
I thought you were going to Chicago for that around Big Ten media days.
Well, ran into a snafu, found out over the weekend. That's the week that my niece, who always stays with us for a week, is scheduled to be here. It's also Vacation Bible School. So a little wrench thrown into that one. And my wife, she had to fly for work a couple weeks ago. Did not go well.
Yeah, she was in California,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so because of that, maybe, I was thinking about maybe get a hotel over in Galena, drive over there.
Yeah, it's nice. Galena's nice. I spent a day there, I think, a few
drivable trip, just me and her before the baby gets here and before she gets too uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, you're probably the right move. We'll be back tomorrow. Cappy's going to join us. So is Zubin. Appreciate you being here. If you missed any portion of the program, you can always listen to the podcast, KXNO.com. Next local programming is at 2, Merv and Andy. And then at 4, the Fanatics. And then we'll do it all again on a Wednesday, and we'll start that with the Morning Rush at 6. Miller and Condon, thanks for being here. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.